Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. How many are so blessed, first of all, to know that Jesus came to save us, right? Amen. But sometimes we forget the main purpose why Jesus came to this earth. Yes, we are the byproduct. We were first in mind. We were in the heart of God that he would come and to save us from our sin. But one of the things that we sometimes don't see, and sometimes there's areas in our life that we struggle in, and we can't pinpoint it. And so I'm hoping that this morning's message will help us, that we would see spiritual insight, that we would understand one of the main purposes that Jesus had to come to this earth. Because we all know that this is a fallen earth, meaning from Adam and Eve, from the day that they sinned, sin entered into the world. And unfortunately, because of sin entering into the world, death has entered into the world. And so there are things on this planet that die daily. Plants die, animals die. Every day someone dies. It's a continual cycle. But that was not to be the case in the very beginning. We were to have a life that would live forever with God. And we were supposed to have a life that had no pain and sorrow, no suffering. There would be no lewdness, licentiousness. There would be no iniquity. There would be no sexual immorality. Everything would have been in a beautiful, blissful way of life. And that's how God intended it to be. So that's the bad news. The good news is God will restore it to that place again. But one of the things that we need to see in this morning's study is not only did he come to save us, it's right up here. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil, the enemy. And until you comprehend why he came to destroy the works, many of us, even as believers, especially with young believers, we still sometimes are in bondage to some things that God will eventually teach us, and we'll learn and we'll grow in the grace. We won't learn this overnight. We won't learn it in 1 week. For some of us, years of walking this walk of faith, will God reveal his goodness, his grace, his glory. But until that starts to come into fruition in our life and our walk with him, we're going to go through some things that we question. God, why? How many of you have asked God why? The why of things of your life. Why this and why that? And why did this happen? And how could that? And it's in every aspect of our life. Relationships, financial, mental health, you name it. And so, we have to look a little deeper and find out that there's a culprit behind all this. And that's old Slewfoot himself. That's Satan. And do you know that he's still around? His dominions are still around. Until he's finally cast into the lake of fire, he's going to cause havoc, knowing that Jesus is coming soon. And so the closer Jesus comes, the more havoc, the more chaos in the world. And it's chaotic. I saw a clip on the news. There was a riot in New York City just because someone was giving away a free PlayStation. Man, and some of those cops are being pelted. It's like, wow. Well, no one talks about the 500 that gets killed in Chicago every week through gang violence. See, there's all kinds of things happening, but why? Why are these things still happening? Because until Satan is finally removed out of this planet and God comes to renovate this place, we have to deal with it. But I'm here to give us ammunition on how to deal with these issues through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Can I get an amen? God gives us solutions. God equips us. God gives us ammunition. But without knowing what it is, we will succumb to our feelings, to the situations of life, and then we find ourselves in a rut. And no one wants to be in a rut. Can I get amen? There are some of us can go into some pity parties. Woe is me. And not realizing who's the culprit behind it. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 8. I've entitled this morning's message, Destroying the Works of the Enemy. Destroying the works of the enemy. Praise God. And John wrote this down for our learning and for our understanding, that God, 2,000 years later, we would be illuminated this morning, August 6th, 2023. Let's go to the Word. In John 8, 42, it reads, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Who sent him? His Father. "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Before I go to the next verse, he's talking to religious folks. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. Did you know they were the only ones that gave him a hard time? Everyone would flock to him. Everyone said, "Oh God, touch me. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, we worship you." But these folks were the opposite. They missed the mark. He was prophesied about his first coming. It was foretold in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Proverbs, Psalms, that Jesus would come. And now he's before them. And yet, they do not believe anything he has to say. They refute everything. Yet, it was written in the Old Testament of him. They couldn't see it. They had no ears to hear, no eyes to see. They were deaf, dumb, and mute. Wow. So, here's what he answers. This is how he answers them. Okay, so I know that all of us in here are God's creation. Can I get amen? He's the creator. We are the created, right? He created us. But for every person that comes into this world, since Adam and Eve, since the fall, till this present day, not every one of them can say that God is their father. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. That everyone that comes into this world is created by God, but many of them are not his children. We're created beings, but not his children. I need you to catch this. Because how did he address the Pharisees, the Sadducees? Because they didn't believe him. And Jesus would always say, "If you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. I raise the dead. I open up blind eyes. I give hearing to the deaf. The cripple can rise up and walk." They saw all these things, yet they refused. Why did they refuse? He answers them right here. Look at this. "You are of your father, the devil." What? Oh, that's a hard saying, isn't it? Jesus told them, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you do not want to do. Look at this. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. You see, unbelievers, Satan, they do not want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Can I get an amen? Until God calls you and you are born again, filled with the Spirit of God, He has transformed you, given you a heart to repent, a mind to be saved, you are not going to believe anything that's written in the book. Am I making this clear? I'm only using what God said in His Word. I'm not making up any fairy tales. He said you are what? A murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in Satan. And so because of the fall, because Adam and Eve fell, we took on what? We took on that Adamic nature. This is why we have sin reigning in our bodies. Come on, how many times have you said, man, I got to get on my knees and just worship God, and the phone rings, the dog barks, and all these thoughts come out of nowhere? Huh? Oh, come on. And some of us could be driving, and there's a big old billboard with a hat clasped someone's dress, and we're going, oh, come on. It's in us, isn't it? Because we have that Adamic nature in us. But when you have the Holy Ghost and you have the Word of God, now you know how to combat those things. Can I get an amen? We know how to now put those things in perspective. We don't fall for the traps that the enemy has put as snares. Look at this. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. What? Man, look at this in verse 45. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. You got to ask yourself this question. How many people that you know that have nothing to do with God, they're not believers, I mean, they just do their own thing, and you try to share them the Word of God? Well, that's good for you. I'm glad you found God. But that was good for you. They don't want to hear nothing, right? Because they have believed the lie. It's in them. The lie's in them already from Adam and Eve. Wow. There's some to this, isn't it? Oh, yes. Look at this. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Look at this. He who is of God hears God's word. That's the key. You see, because we've been born again, we're here sitting in heavenly places, we believe God's word. Why? Because we love God with all heart, soul, and mind, don't we?
Yes, amen.
We've been changed. We've had an encounter with God. God is now our Father. Now we can cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. When the booyah comes on you. How many are so blessed to know that? That God does the miraculous. Only he can quicken us, make us come alive. But these Pharisees and the Pharisees of today, they will only believe a lie. Look at this. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. I'm glad it's written like that and I'm not up here blowing smoke. If God said it in his word, he said it and it's true. Can I get an amen? Now look at this. John further, as he got persecuted, he got exiled, they put him on an island off the coast of Greece, on the island of Patmos. He wrote the final epistles and the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, Sister Yolanda and I, we were blessed and privileged to actually go to the island of Patmos. It's still there. We took a side trip to Ephesus over there in Turkey. Got on a 4-hour boat to the island of Patmos. And they made a big old monument of John was here. It's in a cave. And they got all kinds of, you know, religious relics in there. But that's the cave where he wrote the three epistles, and Revelation. So look what he wrote while he was incarcerated and exiled on Patmos. He wrote this in 1 John 3:8. Look at this. He who sins is of the devil. What? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. I need you to catch this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Can I get amen? See, you got to look at not that God come to save us. He came to destroy the works of the devil that's in our life, that's in this world, to destroy it. You see, saints, Jesus did not come to break the stronghold that the devil had on the human race, but to destroy the works of the devil and eventually destroy him totally. You see, something that can be broken can be put back together again. Can I get amen? But something that has been destroyed, obliterated, can never be put back again. It's done. Put a fork in it. Jesus came to set us free from the power of the enemy. And that's old Slewfoot himself. And so God sends his word so that we can be built up in faith, so that we can trust him, rely on God's word. See, what it boils down to, we have this way of life here in this country, in America. Praise God for this country, because we're the only free country that still can come to worship on Sundays. Can I get amen? Some of them, they're taking away those privileges and freedom, and we got to pray that no one takes ours away. Can I get amen? And so John wrote this. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Can I get amen? How many are so blessed to know that Jesus came to set us free? Look at this. And John, look at that. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. Amen. Let me just say this. When we are born again, he has set us free from the bondage of sin. Can I get amen? Now we have the freedom to worship and praise him. This worship team right here, this morning, they're under the freedom of the Holy Spirit to worship and praise him. Why? Because they couldn't do this in their BC years. My brother right here would be playing with Santana somewhere. We were kidding with him this morning. Brother Andre was playing some Santana music with him. And he thought he was Carlos himself. Yeah. Praise God. What happened to our TV screens here? Let me see here. Hey, what happened to our lights? Amen. I don't know what power. I don't know why it turned off. Okay, so when you start talking about this, the enemy don't like it, huh? Oh, Jesus. Just tap something on that laptop. Just tap something. Let's see. Nothing? Okay. Wow. This is like, wow. Okay, all right. Amen. So, what did Jesus come to destroy? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, God. Whoa, thank you, Lord. So what did he come to destroy? What? Do we know what it is? He came to destroy the power of sin. Can I get amen? Oh, folks don't want to talk about sin in church no more. Oh, just live a lolly tutu good shoe life. Tiptoe through the tulips. You know, I heard so many testimonies. I belonged to a big church, 3,000 deep at one time. And those people in the front row, I won't give away their name, that were high on crystal for 2 years until they surrendered and gave their life and got baptized, and then God set them free.
Hallelujah.
See, you can be in church, but are you set free? Can I get amen? Are you set free? You see, Jesus laid down his life, shedding his blood to destroy the power of sin in our lives. Look what it says in the word right up here. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So Jesus had to shed his blood so that he can eradicate our sin. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus came to eradicate our sin? Listen, I need you to catch this, because you can only catch this with spiritual glasses on. Put on your spiritual glasses on here. Listen, we live in a body of sin. We know that. We struggle every now and then. We have these ungodly thoughts. Things happen in our life. We slip. We miss the mark. The Bible says we have missed the mark. The Bible says in Romans, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We get that. We get that. Can I get an amen? We all get that. But as a child of God now, born from above, filled with the power of his Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, when God the Father looks down now, guess what he sees? He sees the blood. The blood that has covered our sin. He don't see your sin no more. Matter of fact, the Bible says he remembers your sin no more. Can I get an amen? He has cast our sins as far as the east and the west is concerned. Hallelujah. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, the devil wants you to walk around, oh, woe is me, and I messed up, and oh, man, oh, gosh. No. You're a child of God. God gives us an escape clause. Read the contract. Read the word. If you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all is what? All. And so, I got word to back this up. Look at this in Ephesians. In him, who's him? In Jesus. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at this. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. This was all a mystery to us. We had no clue until we got saved. And then God started teaching us. We were growing in his grace according to his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Brother Andre, Brother Mark, Sister Dana, when you were up here worshiping him, God took pleasure in that according to his good pleasure. He raised you up because it brought pleasure to him, because you were worshiping him. You weren't worshiping us. You were worshiping him. And so it purposed in himself to raise you up, to give him praise, glory, and honor that would lead us into that place with him. Can I get amen? You guys just paved the way so that we can enter in. Praise God. That's a mighty God. Look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, we're coming in for a close. The church age of grace is closing. Hope you know that. God's doing something radical now. Why is he doing it now? Why is everything converging now? Because he's about to appear and take us home. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, in Christ. Look at this. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. How many of you have ever gotten something from an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent when they read the will? Oh, yeah. Did you know that there's a will for us? Did you know that there's an inheritance for us as a child of God? Listen, our earthly parents may have not left us anything, but I'm here to let you know, God has left us an inheritance. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh yes, having obtained an inheritance. Look at this, being predestined according to the purposes of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. It was His will that He saved us for such a time as this. It is His will that He has an inheritance built up for you and I. Can I get an amen? And that inheritance we receive has not been made by human hands. Anything made by human hands will be corrupt. Can I get an amen? It will still need termite work and plumbing and concrete work. It will still need deferred maintenance. It will still have need toilet changes. Someone needs to come in and clean the house. Can I get an amen? But what God has prepared, hallelujah, my goodness, He has prepared something that you and I cannot comprehend on this side of eternity. Can I get an amen? Jesus has something so glorious that we can't even comprehend it. Listen, I try to compare it to a places that I've been to on this earth. I've been to Rancho Santa Fe. I've been on realtor tours where a whole bunch of realtors come and we do a caravan through Rancho Santa Fe, and there are $40 million homes. They have swimming pools going in from outside into the living room. You can dive into the living room from your couch. They got 80-inch monitor screens in the toilet. They got horse stables, theaters, basketball courts. You name it, it has everything. But let it go in 2 years, and it'll need plumbing. It'll need roofing. It'll need a paint job. Can I get an amen? It'll still erode and corrode, right? But the things that Jesus has made for us, hallelujah. Thank you, God. It'll be there forever and forever and forever. Praise God. Look at this, because He has an inheritance for us. Look at verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. You see, when you got saved, God gave you ears to hear and eyes to see. You surrendered your heart to Christ. You became a child of God. Now, God has adopted you. Did you know that? That's how He calls us sons and daughters, because He adopted us. Can I get an amen? You got to remember, we came through Adam and Eve's womb in the flesh, but then Jesus came and gave us the second birth from heaven. Can I get an amen? And so now we can cry out, Abba, Father, because we've been born of God from above, not from below. Can I get an amen? It's a miraculous thing once you realize what God has done for us. Look at this. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Wow. Sealed. Sealed for what? Sealed until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. You know what that means? God will never take away your salvation. Come on. Oh, come on. Somebody got to give God a shout. Come on, we are sealed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Look at that. Who is the guarantee? Come on. How many of you brought back something back to Walmart and said, I'm sorry, it's past the guarantee time? My brother and I took back a couple of outdoor lamps in Costco, took them back. Praise God. We got them. You installed them in 2018, huh, brother? But that was rare. But let me just say this. What God has laid up for us, it could never be taken back. And He's not someone that would say, ah. We've done that before, right? Ah. Yeah. You thought it was yours. It's not. Oh, come on. How many times have we done that to one another? I'm sorry. I'm taking that back. We got to watch out how we treat Indians in here. We can't say that. To the praise of his glory. Listen, Jesus destroyed sickness with his ministry and life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Yes, he did. Look at what 1 Peter wrote. Look at this. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Aren't you so blessed? He was the sinless Savior. There was no guile, no sin. There was nothing that we can point to in his life to find any fault or failure. He was perfect. He was the perfect God-man. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. They mocked him. They spat upon him. They cursed him. He didn't even open up his mouth. Some of you would have said, man, what's up? Let's step outside. Oh, come on. Your flesh would have got riled up already. Oh, let's get busy outside, huh? Oh, come on. Not Jesus. He did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Now, I need you to catch this. He judges righteously. So when he comes again, he's not coming as the servant Savior. He's coming as the judge. And when he comes as a judge, look out. Look out. Have you read Revelation? The blood is going to come up to the horse's bridle when he comes back to judge. Wow. Look at this. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Listen, all I know is when the custodian led me to the Lord and I cried out that night, all I knew is that every addiction, everything that I was involved in was gone in a second. As soon as the blood was applied, boom, he eradicated and set me free. Can I get amen? Praise God, and it's been 34 years of walking with him. Can I get amen? Amen. And I have not, hallelujah, been discouraged for one moment. There's nothing I can look back, oh God, why and why and why. I go, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, we have to be a thankful people. Can I get amen? How many of you are thankful to God? Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. We took our granddaughter yesterday to the zoo, and we were just looking at God's little created creatures. And then we saw some walking around that shouldn't have been in those cages. No, I'm not. No, let me take that back, God. But you know what? It was a joy to see what he created. Everything, it was a perfect day. It was not too hot, not too cold. It was just beautiful. And I was just in awe of what God has done. And I kept thinking to Sister Yolanda, man, we've been married now 27 years, and we've been serving him from the day we got married, and there's no regrets.
Amen.
There's no setbacks. There's no heartache. It's all been joy. And I'm praying that your life would demonstrate the same thing that God has shown you, to walk by faith and not by sight, that you will learn to love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And come what may, the disappointments, the trials, the tribulations that come on our life, knowing that God is with us. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And those dark, deep moments of woe is me, he's right there to tell you, I love you, daughter. I love you, son. I love you, child. He's there with us. You got to believe that he's with us. Hallelujah. To comfort the comfortless. He's there to lift us up when we're down and out. Can I get an amen? And many of us have been in those places before, but yet you can still find joy in the midst of suffering. Can you? How does that work? Easy. Oh God, I'm going through, and I know you're with me and you love me and you'll see me through, and he will restore all things in his time. Can I get an amen? Oh yeah, we want that operation to take place now. He says, hold on. I'm going to work some issues out first, and then watch me restore this so that he can get all the glory. See, God doesn't want part of the glory. He wants all the glory. All the glory. Can I get amen? He wants all the glory. That's right. He wants people to know, look what I did in your life. Can I get amen? Not what we did, what he did. Thank you, God. Divine healing comes from God and is good with the price paid in full by the stripes and by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And there are times when sickness does set in. But can you boldly yet humbly say, Lord, I know I'm going through, but I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And here's the thing. I want you to look at even worst case scenario. There's always a best case scenario. Worst case scenario, when it's time, and we don't know the time, only God knows the time. When we are laying or wherever we're at, and God has to close our eyes on this earth, the next time he opens them again, we'll be in glory with him. Can I get amen? Amen. Come on. How good is that? Oh, come on. We'll be with him forevermore. I need you to have that hope, that's in your heart, knowing that come what may, no matter what we go through on this earth, no matter if my life is long or short, that I'm going to be with him. Amen. And when you have that hope, guess what? God will see you now through situations of life. Why? Because you have a greater hope. You got a greater purpose. You got a greater call. And now you won't panic. You won't fret. And he won't fail you. How many believe that God will never fail you? Look at this. We'll finish up. Look at 1 Corinthians here. Look at this. Or do you not know that your temple is the what? Of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You see, here's the great exchange. We gave our heart to Christ. We repented. Here's the great exchange. We gave him our heart. He took that black heart we had. And then he covered you in his blood. And then he gave you his spirit. So that you could walk around on this planet with his spirit in you. With joy unspeakable. And you're going, oh my God. Wow. You're just in awe of him. How many of you can honestly say that has happened to me? Oh, come on. Yes, right? That's right. God is in us. He's in us. Thank you, Jesus. You see, when you realize that sickness and misery and all that, it comes from old slew foot. It was never intended for us to have that kind of a life. But Jesus came. Jesus came. Paul spells it out. Listen, unless you read these next verses, some of you, well, it'll just like go over your head with this. But read the word, because the word explains what God has done for us, why Jesus came. Look at this, found in Romans chapter 5. Look at this. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. Who is that person? No. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. Adam. So that was Adam. Okay, now let's read on. Look at this. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and if and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, look at this. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. So because Adam and Eve, judgment came to all men. Meaning, as soon as they sinned in the garden, death entered into the world. That's why things die now. It lives a certain amount of years or months, and then it dies. Okay? And then it's like, that's what creation now is, even till this day. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. And there's no promise for tomorrow. Can I get an amen? We're not promised tomorrow. Look at this. Resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. So there was one that caused judgment. There was one that caused righteousness. Who was the one that caused righteousness? Jesus. Look at this. Resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners because of Adam and Eve. Well, that's why we have this sinful body. Look at this. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So Jesus was obedient to come to the cross. He was obedient. He was sent by his Father to die for you and to die for me. And because of his obedience, many became righteous. So I need you to see this, that your brother and sister in Christ, we're not righteous because we are just saying we're righteous. We're righteous because Christ has imputed his righteousness upon us. Because we gave our life away to him, he now places righteousness upon us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? I'd rather have God declare me righteous than be self-righteous. So when you understand this, you will have freedom. You will understand. You will understand how to combat the things that even the enemy comes today to do. Do you know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Jesus said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. Praise God. And so, moreover the law, look at this. Moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace what? Abounded much more. Look at this. Here's what's mind-blowing. Here's what's so mind-blowing. Is go back to your BC years. Go back before the day you got saved. Just go back and what was I doing? I know what I was doing. What were you doing? I know you didn't wake up. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I'm going to go and I'm going to give my heart to God. I'm going to go to the altar. When they do an altar call, I'm just going to give up. No, it didn't happen. Like, you know that? God had to make you come alive unto him. God had to quicken you. God had to draw you. Can I get amen? Because the Bible says, none of us, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeks after God. So until the Father draws you, you're not coming to the Son. It's the work of the Father that draws you to the Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He's the one that gives you a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. See, God wants all the glory. We can't say, oh, man, I woke up this morning and I got saved. Yeah, I walked out of the... No, God drew you. God drew you. It was the work of God. He wants all the glory. He wants all the glory. Praise God. Let's go back to this. Look at this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Did you see the great exchange? Yes. We get death, hell, and the grave from Adam, but Jesus gives us eternal life. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? What a great exchange. This is our hope. This is why we sing. This is why we serve him. This is why we love him. This is why we love each other like Christ loves us. I hope you're loving one another like Christ loves us. Can I get an amen? All I can teach you is what God says. It's up to you to do it. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. There's an old saying, I can lead a horse to the well. I can't make him drink. Amen. I can point you to the cross. I can tell you how much he loves us. I can tell you what he's done for us. I can tell you what he's going to do for us. I can tell you the glory that's in store for us, but you got to receive it for yourself. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. You got to go get it. Go get it. Just say, God, I want it all. I want everything. Why? Because this, every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from him. Oh, that's right. God will send, he will not send you something that's evil. He won't, because his word says that. Look at that. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know what first fruits mean? We're the born again church, the born again believer. So when people say, hey, are you a Christian? I don't say, I go, no, I'm not a Christian. What are you then? I go, I'm a born again believer filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been covered by the blood by faith. Man, you got to tell them, because anyone can say they're a Christian. They go, yeah, oh, okay. No. The true believer has been born from above. Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you do not know where it comes from. But those who are born of the spirit will know, because it'll come from any direction. And once the spirit of God comes upon you, you are changed forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You are no longer your own. Can I get amen? Woo! The booyah will come upon you. Look at that. Of his own, look at this. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that he might be the kind of first fruits and creature. Look at what it says in Genesis. By God of your Father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The little infant that comes into the world is nurtured by her mama. Nurtured, cared for, loved. Little ones like that. Can I get amen? They're precious to God. Life is precious to God. Every one of us in this room is precious to him. And never, never doubt that once. There's no one that's insignificant to God. God looks at every one of us as his children, and he loves us with an everlasting love. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, again, on the island of Patmos, John wrote this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Aren't you so blessed that God hears us? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Don't be afraid to come to God with anything. My brother needs a blessing for Wednesday night, his first outreach. Don't be afraid to come to God. You weren't afraid this morning to get prayer. Continue to keep going to God. God, this is all about you, God. Lord, this is all about you, Lord. Lord, you bring them in, oh God. You be the draw, God. You start deferring it to Jesus. You're just, know this, you're just the vessels that God is using to bring him glory. It's not what I'm doing, it's what he's doing through us. Can I get amen? That's when he'll get all the glory. But if you think it's all about you, forget about it. Never once for one moment think it's all about me. That's when God starts closing doors in your life, because you're no longer giving him glory. You're lifting yourself up. Humbly, always be in that praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Can I get amen? You know, I always hear the blessings and the miracles that God has done. And let me just say this. Jesus destroyed poverty. I hope you know that. He destroyed poverty. Now, it was, I think about a year ago, we went to feed the homeless, I think in Southeast San Diego. A group of us, Sister Jessica, knew where to go and find them. We were out there. And it was three of them that I had an opportunity just to minister to. We were away from the group because they had a big camping out there. I mean, you know, we all know they're out there illegally camping out, right? So I just came to minister to them. And I was curious, why are they in a poverty state of mind? So I asked all three. I go, what brought you to this place? What happened? And two of them were cursing God and blaming God. And we only eat your food because you bring it to us. And so they were unthankful. So God answered my question. He answered me. It's because they don't give him glory. They don't give him praise. They don't honor him. And when you have left them out of your life, you are now the result of yourself and nobody else. Can I get an amen? When you kick him out of your life, when you have nothing to do with him who graciously gave us life, you're on your own. And there's no one to blame. Can I get an amen? There's no one to blame. Brother Felipe, he's in India right now. Your beloved Brother Felipe, who's prayed. He's been in our ministry forever. Wonderful brother. He's still there. There's 365 million gods in India. And he came to a conclusion like I have come to a conclusion. Why is that nation in such big poverty? Because they don't worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They got all these false gods. And they're stricken in poverty. But when you put Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, the head of your life, he's the head of your home, hallelujah, he's the head of your life, hallelujah. Man, all things are possible. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He won't have you out there begging in the streets. Can I get amen? Matter of fact, he'll bring ravens to feed you. If the nation ever gets into a famine, God will make sure that his children are fed. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. He'll make a way to defy the unbeliever. Oh, yes, he will. He'll put you on display. Look at my kids. I'm still blessing them. Can I get amen? Amen? Nothing that we've done is all that what he's done. Oh, yes. Look at this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He became poor for us, that you through his poverty might become rich. Can I get amen? Rich in faith. Supplying all of our needs? Oh, come on. Jesus humbled himself with the poor. Became poor. Did you know that he didn't drive around in a Beamer? Bible says that he had no place to hang his head. Jesus was not a millionaire. He went from town to town with the same sandals. He came to give his life away as a ransom for many. And when you understand the depths of his love, why he came for us, you will not, hallelujah, be in that poverty state of mind. Can I get amen? Because he became poor, we became rich. Hallelujah. Rich in Christ, rich in faith. Hallelujah. Knowing that God can do the miraculous, that when we lay hands on the sick, watch them recover. Can I get amen? That we would speak a word of truth, a word of knowledge, hallelujah. that God will use us to prophesy. That's what God wants to do. He wants to do the impossible things. Guess what else he wants to do? He wants to raise up the dead things in your life. Whatever has died in your life, he wants to raise that up. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Because my God, say that with me, and my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches and glory. Can I get an amen? So here's the key for you and I. Here's the key as we're coming in for a close. Here's the key. Know who he is, but seek him. Seek him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Seek him daily. Have devotional time with him. Or do you just get up, shower up, I'm gone, and don't spend a minute with him? Don't spend any time with him. Have that moment with him. Love him. Adore him. Tell him how you feel about certain things in your life. There's some things that we shouldn't do when we give them to him. Say, God, correct these things in my life. You see, if I tell you what you need corrected in your life, you either take it or receive it. You either receive it or you reject it. But when God starts to correct you, that's a whole different realm. Because now you'll hear him. Now you'll understand him. Now you'll learn to obey him. Because it is him correcting us. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. And so, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry of its own things. Sufficient for the day has its own trouble. Did you know that today has its own trouble? It was written in the book of Job. A man born of a woman is but a day and full of trouble. Meaning those who come out of the womb. Did you know a day to God is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day to God? And so he doesn't look at our time realm. And so God has not given us, how many believe that God has not given us a spirit of fear? Fear is the crippler. Fear is the one that will shock you. Fear is the one that will, everything that you've learned of God, it will kind of like be pushed out of the way, and all you see is fear at the moment. All you see is the boogeyman. Look at this. Jesus came to destroy fear, and through his word gave us faith. So here it is. Faith, fear. And fear needs to be crushed by faith. Can I get an amen? Amen? When you have faith to believe that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for, guess what? Your fears will start to diminish. Well, that's right. Because we serve a mighty God, a loving God. How many believe that he's a loving God, a mighty God, and he's worthy to be praised? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to close in Psalm, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Hallelujah. But look at what this says right here. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And in Psalms, how sweet are your words to, well, look at this, to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. King David knew when he failed, he missed the mark. How many of you can honestly kind of identify yourself with King David? Wait. Oh, come on. I've done so many face plants. And God would have to come with this supernatural spatula and scrape me off the pavement and then put me upright again and then dust me off and say, come on, continue what I've called you to do. Keep walking in faith.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.